people of God said, Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you because you brought people together so that we can learn to depend on you and to trust you, and by example to make other people to trust in you. We ask, O Lord, your work will prosper in every one of our hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. Open our eyes of understanding. Help us to see, understand, know, and apply the word to our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can sit down. We're looking at Jeremiah chapter 17, reading from verse 5. Thus says the Lord. It's very instructive that as God called Jeremiah into the ministry and assured him from the very first chapter that before he was conceived, before he was born, that God had known him and set him apart for the work he had for him. And he told him not to look at the face of any man, whether they persecute, they trouble, they try to confuse him or put him in a dungeon. He was always to trust in God. And he's been trusting in God and delivering the message that God had given him. And now he comes to this, chapter 17, verse 5. And he said, thus says the Lord. Jeremiah must understand, I think he understood, that God was not just talking to multitudes, God was talking to him. The words we read, when it says, thus says the Lord, is talking to the worker personally. He's talking to the minister, to the preacher, to the pastor, to the prophet, to the one declaring the word of God. It would be unfortunate for any of us to think, thus says the Lord, let the nation hear, let the multitudes hear, and we ourselves were not hearing, and we're not understanding that that thus says the Lord is directed at the person himself. The word is for me. The word is for you. The word is for the people who are delivering the message. Here is what the Lord has said. Cursed be the man, whether it's Jeremiah or any other prophet or any other preacher or priest. Cursed be the man. Cursed be the one that trusteth in man and maketh the flesh his arm. The arm, you carry things with your arm. You support things with your arm. The arm is the strength. And cursed be the man that trusts in the flesh as the strength, as his support, as his carrier. And it says, whose heart departeth from the Lord. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, for he, that man, who departs from the Lord and trusts man, that man who makes flesh his strength, his support, shall be like the earth in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh. He doesn't see God. He doesn't see the promise of God. He doesn't see the power of God. His heart has departed from the Lord, and now he trusts man. And because he trusts man, when the good is coming, when blessing is coming, he will not see Then it says, but it shall inhabit the parched places, in the wilderness, in a salt land, a land that is not inhabited. As the Lord speaks about those who trust man, he also speaks about those who trust God. In verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. That will also apply to Jeremiah himself. The Lord had given him a challenging ministry, and he was almost alone, because all the other prophets were preaching and prophesying to please man, and he was alone in his conviction, alone in the message the Lord had given him. And yet, he ought to trust the Lord. Here is chapter 17. If he had gone through much difficulty up till this time, how much is he going to go through up to chapter 26, 36, 52? And yet he should know that since God had called him, challenges will come, difficulties will come. He needs to remain faithful to the work the Lord had given him. If he would trust the Lord with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind, he'll be blessed. And the ministry, the work, will be blessed in his hand. Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. What will happen? What will be the result of so trusting the Lord? In verse 8, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, a tree planted by the Lord himself, and that spreadeth forth her branches and her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. Circumstances, situations, weathers will change. There'll be the dry season. There'll be the weary time. There'll be the time when normally plants will wither, but this man who trusts in the Lord, he'll be like he's planted by the riverside, and he will not see when drought or heat comes, but her leaves shall be green and shall not be careful, shall not be worried, shall not be anxious in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That basically is the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, to the prophets, to the priests, to the preachers, and to the people of the land. We're looking at this, building our lives, trusting the great God, the God of heaven, not mortal man, not mortal man. And I plead that you allow the Lord himself to speak to you. Look at every area of your life, personal life, professional life, family life, spiritual life. How are you building your life? Building our lives, trusting the great God. He's so great, he could take care of a whole nation. He's so great, he could deliver a nation in bondage. So great, he could provide water from the rock to quench, satisfy the thirst of millions of people. So great, He could bring food, manna from heaven, for a whole nation for 40 years. So great, he could destroy all the enemies of the nation of Israel at one event, building our lives, trusting such a God, and not trusting mortal men. Not allowing our hearts to depart from the Lord, but to stay, to remain, to abide, to focus, to have our trust and confidence in God. No, not mortal man. Building our lives on the great God, trusting the great God, and not trusting mortal man. We divide the message to three parts. Number one, the bitter backsliding of departing from God to trust man. Number two, the brighter blessedness of depending on God, trusting our Maker. Number three, the believer's burden, declaring God's gospel and transforming men. Look at number one. Number one is the bitter backsliding of departing from God to trust man. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, thus says the Lord, God said, be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departed from the Lord. Whose heart departed from the Lord. He had been with the Lord. You couldn't depart from a place if you have not been in that place. You couldn't depart from a person if you have not been with that person. You couldn't depart from a situation if you have not been in that situation. You couldn't depart from God if you had not been with God. But the soul, the heart, the man, the woman that departs from trusting God, departs from believing in God, and he takes his own life into his hand, he must now trust man. Trust man. That man may be himself. Like I am trusting myself. I have all the wherewithal. I have whatever it takes to do whatever I want to do. And I depend only on my strength. And I don't think I need God. My heart departs from God. I trust in me. That me is also man. You depart from the Lord to trust yourself. You have a challenge. You have a problem. You know the man you're going to go to. God doesn't come into the heart first. But there's a man that comes to the heart. And you trust that man. You run to that man. And you're not even thinking, any promise of God for me? Power of God will manifest in my life. What can God do in this situation for me? Not only sickness. Yes, when we're sick. But it's not only infirmity like that. Not only disease. When we have even persecution. Well, we know the people to contact, want to buy something, get something. We know the men long leg, that have long leg. We know the men that have connections and contacts. And our heart goes to those men first. And we know the people that can pull and push and draw things and drive things. And we feel, once I get to that man, it'll solve my problem for me. The man may not be a Christian. The man may be a Christian. But our first port of call is that man. God said, be the man who trusts in man, whose heart departs from the Lord. And there are times we, as human people, we have some pressures, we have some difficulties, and it doesn't come to our mind to pray about it. And we're consulting this man and this man and that woman and that person, and we're thinking, once I lay the complaint before him and before her, I can go to sleep. You are trusting that man. You are trusting that woman. Have you prayed? Do you ever pray? Do you ever think of the Lord that this is a problem, a challenge that God will help me take away? We need finance. And we, you know, thought about, how do I finance this? How do I support this? Do you ever think about God that will supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus? And we know the people. I know the kind of car he rides. I know the kind of house he lives. And the first thing the heart is thinking about is that man. And then you put all your arguments and all your desires together, how to make your request. Why don't you go and tell God? All those things you are putting together, yes, put them together, tell God. But no, the trust in man, the God who loves you enough to give you salvation, the God who loves you enough to change your life and transform your life, and the God who has seen you through by his grace from that time until this time. Why don't we call on God? It says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, his strength, his support, whose heart departeth from the Lord. We have to be very careful so that we don't become nominal Christians, nominal believers, nominal church. That yes, we still preach doctrine, we still preach the word of God, but when it comes to trusting God, temptation, trial, challenge, difficulty, burden, persecution, we don't even think about God. We have become nominal, just Christian in name, believer in name, and we fear man more than we fear God. But cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. We're looking at three things here. Number one, the bitter backwardness departing from God to trust in man. Number two, the bitter bondage through denying God and trusting men. Number three, the bitter betrayal for despising God and trusting materialism, money. Number one is the bitter backwardness departing from God to trust in man. We've read Jeremiah 17 verse 5 already. Now look at Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 2, reading from verse 3. Israel was holiness unto the Lord. These are the people that God sent the message to. They knew the Lord. They came to the Lord. They were the peculiar people of God. And they were in the past holiness unto the Lord, the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, says the Lord. Now that was their condition. That was their stage. That was their standing in the Lord. They were holiness unto the Lord, set apart unto the Lord, depending on the Lord all the time. And Israel said, that is my son, let my son go, that they may serve me. But now, after departing from the Lord, all that past experience was gone. We're looking at verse 5. In verse 5, thus says the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me? They were with the Lord. He took care of them. He blessed them and brought them into a land flowing with milk and honey. But now they've gone from him, far from him. And they have walked after vanity and have become vain. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land that of deserts and of peace, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt. They had forgotten all that God had done. Their hearts departed from the Lord. We should be thinking about ourselves. How close were you to God? How near, how intimate were you with God? How much did you break away from the world and you totally decided, devoted, dedicated your life unto the Lord? Is it still so? The Lord had delivered them from Egypt, and now their minds were going back to where they have come from. In verse 16 it says, and the children, talking about these children, they broke the crown of thy head. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, hast thou not procured this unto thyself? God was the person feeding us, leading us, protecting us, healing us, delivering us, overcoming all our challenges for us. But now, these people went to be with the men of the world to take care of them. Now their crown is taken from their head. They look like ordinary people. No protection and no heavenly honor upon them anymore. And the Lord said, you procured this for yourself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, it says, thine own wickedness, departing from the Lord, shall correct thee, and thy backslidings, in the plural, shall reprove thee. Know therefore, and it says, see that it is an evil thing and bitter, an evil thing and bitter, that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, says the Lord God of hosts. So Jeremiah had to deliver such clear, direct stern message unto them. As we read all these words, think about yourself. And I should think about myself. Are you leaning towards on man? Leaning on man more than on God? Do you pray when you have challenges? When you have difficulties? Or do you have the man, the woman that has replaced God in your life? Do we hear the word of God, only the word of a man? Do we weigh the word of God and weigh the word of man and lean upon the word of man? And in taking decisions in life, you want to travel out, whether to relocate there or just spend some few years and come back, do you ask God or do you ask man here or man over there? And they decide. And once they say this, you're ready to go. Are we not trusting men? Are we not depending on men? And as you look at the general news coming out, either from the papers or from the media, do you take all your decisions based on all those things? You've got the facts already. Do you check up from God where to go, what to do, how to live, and how to plan your life? But it's a bitter thing to forsake God and not to trust man. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 18. Here we're told, it says, thy way and thy doings are procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reaches unto thine heart. It has seized the heart, deadened the heart, that now, you know, religion still goes on. Worship, so to say, still goes on. Traditional kind of worshiping God, all that still goes on. But the daily life, the regular life, the planning life, everything is now done routinely by the dependence on man rather than lively dependence on God. Look at number two. Number two is the bitter bondage through denying God and trusting men. It tells us in Jeremiah chapter 44. I'm reading from verse 16. Here were the children of Israel, and the Lord had sent Jeremiah to deliver the message unto them. Here is their response. As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us, in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. They had their men they are getting directives from. They had human beings they were getting directives from. And so they said, Jeremiah, hold it. Keep your ministry to yourself. As for the word that you have spoken, we know you always speak from the Lord in the name of the Lord. But we made our choice. Is that what happens today? They say, if you want to reach this generation, if you want to really get this community and bring them to the Lord, you know, all these repentance and believing on the Lord and getting saved and discipleship and water baptism and recitation, they say, you know, you don't really need to get this generation. If you want to get this generation, we'll give you the kind of message you will preach. That one, people don't listen now. Repentance, people don't listen now. And so the men pleasing preachers, the people preaching preachers, since those they want to please, they've been told the Bible doesn't count now. Yes, read a verse of the Bible and then go up and motivate us and stir us up. And this younger generation in particular, telling them the word of God, there's no point. As for the word you have spoken in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto you. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, but we will certainly do whatsoever sin goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven. Remember, these were Israelites. These were people that God led out of the bondage of Egypt. But now they said, we burn incense. If you read Exodus and Leviticus, you'll see all the details of how God said they'll build an altar, they will sacrifice to him, and the kind of oil they will use sacred, and the kind of incense, and they'll burn that unto him. It will be a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. But now they said, no, their hearts departed from the Lord. And now they found a queen, the Queen of Heaven, that they're going to burn incense to. And then they said, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and we were well and saw no evil. It's not what they felt in their body that determines how they lived. Is any believer here tending towards that? Yes, we have quiet time in the morning, and we read faithfully our daily manna. Do we live according to what we read every morning? Yes, we come to our Bible study. That's part of us already. All those apostates had to sneak in to bring false doctrine into the sanctuary of the Lord. Yes, we come. Do we follow what we read there? And when we come to our Tuesday leaders meeting and we learn all those expositions about Samuel, about Samson, about Delilah, and about Gideon, and about Jephthah, and about, now we've come to the New Testament Acts of the Apostles, do we follow? Or is it just, that's wonderful, this is great exposition. Does life change? Is faith heightened? Are we trusting more in God? Don't we go back home and still trust in man? Think about that. And this is what these people have done. They were not trusting God anymore. Isaiah chapter 30, I'm reading from verse 1. Isaiah chapter 30, reading from verse 1. Woe unto the rebellious children, says the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, children of Israel. Yes, they still took counsel, but the counselors were not delivering the word of God. And they were just speaking out of their mind. They were speaking from experience, and they were speaking from their interaction with the world. And they say, you know, experience is the best teacher. I thought that Christ, the greatest of teachers, experience is the best teacher. I thought the word of God is the word of wisdom. and that is the best of teachers. And they say, you know, from experience, if I were you, this is what I will do. Sir, give me chapter and verse of the Bible. Ah, Bible, we've had enough Bible. Let me give you experience. They say they take counsel, but not of me. It says, and that cover weighs a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth. Some so-called Bible believers, I believe the Bible. The only time they go to ask God anything, any counsel, is when they're going to get married. After that, they trust man to give them directives. They have not asked any counsel at my mouth. You got married 30 years ago. You prayed and prayed and prayed to know the will of God. Now you got married. Now you've got children. Do you still pray to know the will of God in the decisions of life? Now you're on your life. How you lead your life. What you do. Or is it that, you know, I'll ask so and so. That's it. I'll ask such and such. Now we ask them. We ask them. They might not be here. And those people we're asking may not even know how to discover the way of God and the will of God. But we're so used to them, hearts depart from God and we trust in man. It says they have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Look at verse 3. In verse 3 it says, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Look at Isaiah chapter 31. Isaiah chapter 31, reading from verse 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt. Whenever you go to Egypt from Israel, you're going down. Whenever you go from the church to the world, you're going down. Whenever you go from God to man, you're going down. When any heart departs from God, and it's not used, even doesn't recognize the voice of God anymore. And it goes to man, to man, to man. I want to do this. If you were, what will you do? Are you not a believer? Ask God. Check up from the Bible that the word he has given us throughout our lives to prepare for eternity. Ask God. But it says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust, that's the word, trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, the people who leave God and leave Israel and leave the prophets, the true prophets of Israel, and they go down to Egypt, the evildoers, and against the help of them that work iniquity. Verse 3, in verse 3, he wants us to understand now, the Egyptians are men, not God. The Egyptians are men, not God. All those, you know, the rich Egyptians, scientific Egyptians, and the people that built all those things in Egypt, they're still men, not God. Then it says, nor their horses, their flesh, and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is helped, that is hoping, that's what it means, shall fall down, and they all shall fall together. I'm coming to number three here. Number three, the bitter betrayal. Despising God and trusting materialism. Jeremiah chapter 17. I'm reading from verse 9. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins, the inner part, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Verse 11. In verse 11, the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatches them not. So he that getteth riches, the mind is bent on riches. The heart is focused on riches. It feels money answers all matters. If I have money, I'll do that. Well, money can buy a bed to sleep on, but money cannot buy sleep. Money can buy food to eat, but money cannot digest the food and distribute everything into the body. Money can buy a lot of things, but money cannot take care of us the way the Lord will take care of us. It says that get riches and not by right, that they shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. At his end, at the end of that man whose heart departs from God and he trusts materialism, materialistic things, and he trusts money, and he trusts riches, at the end he'll be a fool. Look at Luke chapter 12, reading from verse 15. Luke chapter 12, we're reading from verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. That's what people run after. That's what they trust. That's what they depend upon. Verse 16. In verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, abundantly. 17. And he thought within himself. He didn't ask God. He thought within himself. He didn't consult God. How do you live? Do you just think and plan, strategize by yourself? You have this goal. You have this peak you want to reach. And you have this example, the examples of the people of the world, and you are running and running and running after them. You are not running the race that God has set before you, but running to catch up with them, the rat race, meet up with the Joneses. But it says, he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Verse 18, and he said, this will I do. Any prayer? No, he knows what to do. Trusting God? No, he knows what to do. Once he has consulted with himself, me, man, and once he has looked at the examples that other people, what they've done and what they're doing, why does he need to consult God? While he's made all the proposals and he's reaching everything, and he gives it to some experts that will help him read through and say, this matches the time and it matches the thing you want to do. And once those consultants are there and they have said, go ahead, why does he need to pray? His heart departs from God. He trusts man. He says, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Verse 19, and I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Now you can retire. Now you can rest. Now you can relax because you made it. And did all this planning by himself. Take thine ease, eat and drink and be merry. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool. Not consulting God. God was waiting for him, was making all the plans and doing everything. His heart departed from God. All he did was to trust in man, to trust in himself, to trust his intelligence, and to trust his drive within him. And God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? The conclusion of verse 21, so is he, anyone, everyone, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself. And he trusts himself. He didn't know about tomorrow. He didn't know the day of death. He didn't know the day when God will call him up yonder. So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let's come to point number two. Point number two, the better blessedness of depending on God and trusting our Maker. We're looking at Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. You trust your soul into the hands of the Lord. Your salvation, your redemption, you trust the Lord. Your strength to go from here on earth to there in heaven, you trust the Lord. Every step of the way, every decision in the way, and every place you try to get to in the way, you are trusting God. He is the one that maps out everything in life for you. Even when you're doing something good, like, you know, we know we should evangelize, we still commit everything to the Lord. We know we should go to school. Where do I go to school? What do I read? And when I come out, what's going to become of me? Well, we ask the Lord. We trust in the Lord. Are you to travel out? Well, how do you leave your father at home? I mean, the Heavenly Father. You didn't even talk to him about it. And you didn't ask him about it. No, a believer trusting in the Lord, he checks up everything before the Lord. Because God said, be the man that trusteth in man, and who makes flesh his arm, and his heart departs from the Lord. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when drought, when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, evergreen, and shall not be careful, worried, anxious in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Look at three things here. Number one, the better promises that transformed believers in God. Number two, the brightening prayers of trusting believers in his goodness. Number three, the blessed performance for truthful believers in his grace. Look at number one. Number one, the better promises for transformed believers in God. He's come to God, he's been transformed, and now he has the promise of God. And these are better promises than the old covenant promises. Better promises than what promise any man can give unto us. Those men may even be good men, faithful men, but man is man at best. In their best situation, man is still man. A man will not go beyond being man. And so it is still better for us to trust in our God, our Maker, who gives us better, higher, greater promises. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, I'm reading from verse 5. It says in verse 5, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, says he, says the Lord, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. And we need to ask the builders, I don't mean physical, I mean the spiritual leaders, builders, ministers, preachers, pastors, shepherds of the church today. Do we get any pattern from heaven, or do copycats? I know how that church is doing it, and it's growing. I know how that assembly is doing it, and is succeeding. I know how that fellowship center is doing it, and people are rushing there. And so, why do I need to get any pattern from the Lord? They're doing it, and you know, and we're in the same age and the same dispensation. And then I copy what they're doing. He said, no. Now in Egypt, they have been building for a long time. And Moses was learned in all the learning and the deeds of Egypt. But When it comes to building the tabernacle, God gave him a pattern from the mountaintop. When he was with the Lord, those 40 days and nights, and God said, Moses, don't go back to your knowledge. Don't go back to all that you knew before. Trust in the Lord, and you will build according to the pattern that was shown. There might be pastors and preachers among us who, although they still claim they are leaders in our church, either they are district pastors or they are group pastors, yes, and we count them that they are part of us. But you know what they're doing and the method they're using and the way they, you know, pull this and pull that and get this and get that. It's no more like what has been shown to us on the mount. And there are people that can encourage them, because those people are only looking for physical outward success. People are coming there, yes. Anybody can go anywhere, but is it of the Lord? And are we doing it that the lives of those people are transformed according to what God intends from on high? Look at verse 6 now. Verse 6, but now as he obtained a more excellent ministry, that's our Christ, that's our Lord, that's our Messiah. He knows about the church more than any man will know. He knows how to grow his church. He knows how to feed his flock. He knows how to do what's to be done in his church, for his church, by his church, more than any man knows. Why don't we follow him? Why is our heart departing from the Lord and we're trusting men? Now, as he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. We have better promises. Look at number two. Number two, the brightening prayers of trusting believers in his goodness. Our lives become brighter when we trust him and trust his goodness. Look at Jeremiah 17, reading from verse 14. Heal me, O Lord. Remember, it's this same chapter 17. We read from verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8. Now we're reading that same chapter, verse 14. Because when you trust in God, when your heart has not departed from God, you have any challenge, you need broken bones to be healed, broken heart to be healed, broken family to be healed, broken vessel to be healed, and broken part of the work of the ministry to be healed, you need your broken mind and confused heart to be healed. That same chapter tells us, don't trust in man, trust in God, because blessed is he, the man who trusts in God. His heart is still with the Lord. And so in that same chapter, he says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me from sin, yes. Save me from trouble, yes. Save me from the dungeon of persecution, yes. Save me from all the troubles I'm going through. Depend on God. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. Thou art my praise. Isaiah chapter 53. We're reading from verse 4. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs in our grief. Why do we turn to man? Why do we cry on man's shoulders? in our grief, why don't we go to God? Why is our heart departed from God? Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. In our sorrows, why are we complaining? So and so has not visited me. Has not so and so heard I have this challenge? Why he has not? And we're so sorrowful, and it increases our sorrow because our heart is on man. Jesus said, I'll send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Do we go to the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, for our comfort? Or is he just on man? And we say, am I going to, you know, the fellowship of the people, the comfort of the people, the consolation of the people, and here I am, why do we have church? Why am I going to church? If the people will not come, okay, now they come and they speak, but the words they speak, are they not just the words of men? The words do not reach deep in our heart. After they have gone, we need the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. We need God, the God of mercy and compassion. We need Christ, because it's only the compassion of Christ that will really soothe our pain. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Look at verse 5. Verse 5, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed. I am healed. I am healed. You know, He knows and He can see beyond what man, any man, can see. He knows the root of the problem. He knows the foundation of the problem. And He knows how to root out whatever has not been planted in our lives by the Heavenly Father. And He will. I said He will. First Peter chapter 2, reading from verse 24. First Peter 2, verse 24. Who His own self bear our sins? That's the one to go to, because Himself bear our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed in Jesus' name. If we would trust God like Ezekiah trusted the Lord, if we will trust God like those children of Israel in the wilderness trusted God, if we will trust the Lord like the apostles and disciples of Jesus trusted Him, if we will trust the Lord like those early believers trusted the Lord, no sickness will remain in your body. It will heal, it will deliver as we pray, because that prayer brightens our life as we trust in the goodness of the Lord. Number three here. Number three, the blessed performance for truthful believers in His grace. We're told in Jeremiah chapter 1, reading from verse 12. Jeremiah 1, verse 12. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen. When you see God, you see well. When you see the promises of God that cannot fail, you see well. When you see the constancy of the Lord, I am God, I change not, you see well. When you see that what God has said He will do, you see well. It says, thou as well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. You know, men, they are not in a hurry. Every man, good man, has his own problems too. Every man, rich man, has his own challenges too. And so if our hearts depart from the Lord and we trust in man, no matter who the man may be, they may want your help, but they will not be in a hurry. They have to deal with their own problems first. Are they not hungry? They'll eat first. Are they not weary? They'll have some, you know, refreshing first. Do they not have family challenges? They want to take care of those challenges first. But God was no problem, and you are the only one he's thinking of. He says he will hasten his word and perform that word in your life in Jesus' name. God will get to you before the nearest man can ever get to you. And he will get to you. I said he will get to you. Whatever problem he has not ordained for you, that problem will not stay. And whatever oppression, whatever sickness he has not ordained, that oppression will not abide in your life in Jesus' name. Look at Romans chapter 4. We're reading from verse 21. Romans chapter 4, verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Able in your life. Able in your life. He'll perform it in Jesus' name. Now, let's say somebody, not you, say not me. Let's say somebody has a challenge. And that person having a challenge, maybe it's in the body. He goes to the native doctor, herbalist, and he gives all those seeds, they mix together, and he's chewing them, he's swallowing them. But the thing is not working, because when those things they put together, when they were alive, they couldn't help anybody. And now that they have killed them and mixed them to match them together, they can't do anything, they can't help. But let's say this somebody now goes to a scientific medical doctor and is chewing that thing, and he has the rest in the pocket. And the medical doctor said, now, what are you chewing? Oh, he says, so and so, under the tree, on the sand, give this and this and give it to me. But I want to add your own, so that also you will give me the scientific one. This one is native. Well, will the doctor add the scientific one to the native one? Not the doctors I know. He will not. You have to forsake that one, your trust in the native occultic herbalist. You have to forsake that before you come to the higher one that has empirical value, that they have tested. The same thing, you have the help of man. And they said they will do whatever. And they promised you sky and earth. I don't want to say heaven and earth. How can they promise heaven? They're not even going to heaven. But they promised you the sky and the ground. And you are following that. Then, power night. Then you come. And you have your waistband. I said, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about somebody. And they have this and that. And we say, in Jesus' name. And they say, amen. But they will not take away the occultic and all those things away. Will their amen reach heaven? No. God wants us to trust him because we're fully persuaded. If I'm fully persuaded, I don't need that. I need him. Now, what he had promised, he is able also to perform a performance in your life. But we still must ask him. And as you ask, you receive. You seek, you will find. You knock at his door, the door will be opened unto you in Jesus' name. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 37. Ezekiel 36, verse 37. Thus says the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. He has promised this in this chapter. You read the whole chapter. Many, many times God says, I will, I will, I will, I will. Then at the end he said, don't say because I said I will. You are not asking. You are not praying. You are not coming unto him. I've given you the promise and I'm going to perform. And yet thus says the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flood. It will increase you. I said it will increase you. But let's be sincere. I'm sure you've read, I have read, I have seen of people, they say they're doing Christian work, gospel work, evangelistic work, and they're doing church growth, but they do it their African way. And you read about them, what they do at the riverside, what they even do around their pulpit, how they dig and they bury something there, and you know, they're expecting that all that is going to decay and decompose and have all those worms, as many like that, then all there, the congregation just be coming and coming and coming. Now, if somebody does something like that, and yet he's praying to God in the open with something buried and he's walking on those buried things, and that's where his heart is, but he's deceiving people that God will bring the increase and God will do this, God will do that. Is God involved in that? Tell me out aloud. People in all these places, you know, somebody might run there. I hear that something is happening there. Stay where you are. You don't need to run and go and depend upon man. What man is doing, God will increase you. Amen. And God will fight your battles for you. Amen. No one, but no one anywhere here, no one there, should depend on magical power, occultic power. If somebody offends you, we don't need to defend upon magical power, occultic power. God will defend you. Amen. If somebody, you know, says something, it shouldn't be you. If you are angry, you shouldn't be angry. But if you are angry at anyone, don't talk. Because if you express the anger, you expose yourself, you're not a true believer. If you are angry, but you shouldn't be angry, go lock yourself up. Don't say a word when you are angry. People might count it, you are cursing them. People might count it, you are throwing a spell on them. When you speak with that kind of anger, don't talk. And go settle yourself with God that your heart is free. No anger, no malice, no vengeance, nothing. And the Lord, if anybody has wronged you, the Lord will set everything right. He will not give you a problem, a challenge, beyond which you trust Him and He cannot remove. He will solve all your problems in Jesus' name. Every good thing the Lord has written concerning you will be done. In this life, before your enemies, He'll do them in Jesus' name. Before Pharaoh dies, you'll see the performance of the promise of God in your life. And if He says, on my dead body, before this happens, Pharaoh, that's right, on your dead body, but Israel will be free. That same Red Sea that allows Israel to pass through will block Pharaoh, will block the chariots. You don't have to fight for yourself, and you don't have to depend upon man. Depend on God. Your problems are solved. Point number three now. Point number three, the believer's burden, declaring God's gospel and transforming men. And that's what we have to do with men. Just transforming them, preaching the word unto them, so that their hearts will come back to God. In Isaiah chapter 58, I'm reading from verse 6. Isaiah 58, verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of the weak of wickedness, and to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Look at verse 8. In verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as in the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Speedily, you will get well. Your loved ones will get well. Thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rear. What? Look at 1, 2, 3 here. Number one. Number one, pleading with men to turn and come under Christ's banner. Number two is persuading weary men to trust and carry Christ's burden. Number three, preparing washed members to toil and continue as Christ's burden bearers. You don't trust man. You are not working for man. You work for God. Look at number one. Is pleading with men to turn and come under Christ's banner. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, let them return from man. The men they have been trusting in, men cannot give them salvation. Men cannot give them satisfaction. Men cannot give them heaven. Come unto me, point them to Christ. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest through you. Many people will come to the Lord in Jesus' name. Isaiah 45 verse 22. It says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And that's what we're to do. We ourselves, we have looked unto Him for salvation, and we keep with Him for our safety and security, steadfastness. Now we can go and call other people to come unto Him, and from all the ends of the earth, because there's no other Savior. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. If we are part of the bride of Christ, that's what we should be doing. We turn our eyes away from man. Our hearts are not trusting in man. We're trusting in God. And we have come to him and we abide with him. And we're not departing from the Lord anytime. And we're not joining the people of the world who are raising up banners and posters for man. But we're raising up the banner of Christ. And it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Many people in the world, their hearts have departed from God and they trust in man. But we are now the heralds of the Lord. And we're going out and calling them, please come, please come. We're pleading with them that they will come to the Lord. Look at number two. Number two is persuading weary men to trust and carry Christ's burden. In Matthew chapter 11, reading from verse 29. Matthew 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We have done that. And now we go out and we're bringing other people. It's a full-time job. Any other job we're doing is just to keep body and soul together for food and for shelter. And if you have food and raiment, be satisfied with that. But your full-time job, your full-time engagement is going out and telling the people they're under the yokes of men and they're under dependence of men. That's a burden, bondage for them. But now we go all out Saturday, Sunday. Every day we have opportunity to tell them, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Look at verse 30. It says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's how we serve the Lord, because we need to persuade men that they come. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading from verse 11. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord will persuade men, knowing that all who forsake God and trust man, that the judgment will eventually come upon them. And the men they trust cannot give them salvation, cannot give them peace of mind, cannot give them a secured eternity. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, for the people that replace God with man and they depart from God and they trust occultism, they trust their juju, they trust their witchcraft, they trust their powers of darkness, they trust men, knowing the terror of God upon such people, will persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, it tells us, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. He died for us. Because of that, we're dead to all the attractions of the world, to the glittering gold and silver in the world. We're dead to all the invitations of the world. Come, come, come. They want us to trust in man. But no, we trust in God. And we know Christ, who has died for us. And because he's died for us, we are dead to the things of the world. Then in verse 15, that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Verse 18, in verse 18, and all things of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. In verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're trusting God. We're not trusting in men. We're trusting for salvation, for security. We're trusting for life eternal. We're trusting to take care of every area of our lives. And now we're his ambassadors, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, we plead with you, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, reading from verse 1. 2 Corinthians 6, 1. We then, as workers together with him. You can't be a worker together with him if your heart departs from him. If you place your trust in man, you cannot be a worker together with God. If you depend on occultic power, dark power, satanic power, if you depend on witchcraft, if you depend on sorcery, if you depend on familiar spirit, you cannot be a worker. Well, you might be there as a nominal Christian, nominal worker, nominal minister, but if your heart departs from God and you trust in all those black magic things in the world, you're not the worker with him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Amen. The grace of God will not be in vain in your life. Look at number 3 here. Number 3, preparing washed members. Make sure the people in the house fellowship, the people in the local church, the people in the district, the people in the group, the people in the region, in the state, in the nation, that God has made you a leader over, a father over, a mother over, has made you a shepherd over them. Make sure that you are preparing them as members to also toil and continue as Christ's body bearers. Are you looking at Galatians chapter 6? Read from verse 2. Galatians 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's bodies. Help people, but don't make yourself their God. Help people, but don't make them replace God with you. Help people, but don't allow them to have the concept that they trust you. You are so helping them, they can't pray. You are helping them, they won't even consult God. You are helping them, you are the final authority in their lives. Don't do that. Help them, but help them and push them to God. Help them and lead them to God. Help them and let God be the one they know. Anything provided from you is actually God that has provided for them. But don't make yourself the final thing, a little God for them. It says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I want you to look at that. Bear ye one another's burdens. Look at verse 5. Verse 5, but every man shall bear his own burden. Look at that. In verse 2, bear ye one another's burden. What that means is, you have a challenge, you can help, help. Poverty, you can give food, raiment, house rent, money, give. Bear ye one another's burden. They have a case, and you don't want them to just feel alone, and you have to be with them in the court. Bear one another's burden. They're bereaved, bear one another's burden. Whatever is happening, and you know they're carrying a load which they cannot carry alone. Yes, they depend on God. Let God use you to bear the burden with them. But in the final analysis, on the final day, every man shall bear his own burden. Every man will answer to God, whether throughout his life, until the end of his life, his heart stayed on God, or his heart departed from God and trusted in man. Every man shall bear his own burden. Nobody will answer for the sin of anyone when we get over there. Everyone will answer for himself. Your friends, you're living together. You're living your life transparent. The other is doing hanky-panky. The other is playing game with his salvation. Well, on the final day, although you are living together, every man will bear his own burden. Here we are. We're in the same church, and we come to worship, and apparently we believe the same doctrine. But when we scatter, he's in his house, she's in her house, and people, they know what they depend on. And on the final day, everyone shall bear his own burden. While we're here, we care for each other. We love each other. We bear one another's burden. And we preach to each other. And we're expected to fulfill the word of God. In that way, we're helping those who are discouraged. We're bearing burden with them. We're encouraging them. And those who are backsliding, we're bearing burden with them. We're showing them the way of restoration. And those who have been, you know, if they're poor, whatever, we're showing them how God will supply all their needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We bear burdens with everyone. But once we close our eyes here, and we appear over there, nobody can defend anyone. How you lived on earth, whether you lived by the grace of God or you lived by depending on another power, another entity, every man shall bear his own burden. I pray when a trumpet shall sound and the Lord will call us home one by one or all together, no burden will be so attached to you of darkness, of the devil, that then God says, I don't know him, I don't know her. You'll be for the Lord. I will be for the Lord. And nobody will say, so-and-so, his heart was not with the Lord. Your heart will be with the Lord. Amen. You'll not trust man. You'll not throw your life into the hand of any man. God is your God. Christ is your Savior. The Holy Spirit will be your comforter till the very end. Body, bear for one another with one another. But no burden of sin will follow you or follow me to eternity. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. I know you are a sincere child of God, minister of the gospel. Pray sincerely, pray transparently, May God see you're truthful, you're loving. Keep on loving him. Trust him. Believe in him.